Hey, this episode of Late Nights with Travin Loos is sponsored by FreshBooks, which is exciting. So to see how the all-new FreshBooks can increase your productivity and save you time, visit freshbooks.com/Travin Loos and enter Late Nights with Travin Loos in the Where Did You Hear About Us section.
How did you hear about us
section? Yeah, that. Last week, we made an episode where I was talking about some lessons I've been learning from this book I've been reading called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F Word, written by Mark Manson. I recommend it. If you can stand F words, there's a lot of F words.
There's a lot of F words.
But you can supplant those. If you have an aversion to F words, just put the word horse feathers in there.
Yeah.
Subtle art of not giving a horse feather.
Yeah, you can do that. 900 times.
Yeah, there's a lot of horse feathers.
It's like many
a pillow full of horse feathers.
But it is a pillow full of horse feathers. I love that episode, and I like the...
Oh, last week?
Yeah, last week.
Cool.
Loved your message about it, and really how what you teased out of what you've read so far is how to care about the right things, and you pulled out some things that are quite impactful to your life.
Yes.
And so give it a listen. It's a pretty good episode, short and sweet.
Yeah, I've been trying to do a lot of inventory about where I spend my time and what I care about, and there's a lot of distractions that we can do. Like, you know, it's so much easier to wave a flag and talk about productivity, and denounce Netflix and video games, but then neglect talking to your child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is not like, I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
It's all a struggle. Let me ask you a question. What?
Good question.
What do you think will bring you happiness in life? Like when you think about like, oh, what do I want? What comes to be the answer? Why do I do these things? What do I want?
This is so freaking annoying. Question.
Sorry.
Here's why. Here's why. Is this ongoing battle. Okay. What is a constant? I live in a Western society that is a capitalistic society. As long as I live in it. Okay. There's some things that are like, it's going to affect me in a fixed way, whether I like it or not. And I can resist it in many aspects of my life, but in a roundabout way, it'll still get and influence me, my family, my children.
Okay.
That's one thing here, and I'm setting context or like an establishing shot of my life here.
Yeah.
Right. Now what's going to bring me the most joy?
What's going to bring you the most
joy?
To
get out of this system.
To get out of a capitalistic society.
Yeah. And the only way that I know how to do that is if it were just me, I'd be a nomad and just live out of my backpack, experience cultures and people, the mundane, and get lost.
The mundane.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd get lost in El Salvador with, you know, some grandma that is making pupusas and would just work and help her for like 6 months and move on to something else, right? That would make me happy if it were just me. Now, another fixed cost. I have a beautiful wife and three beautiful children, right? And I want to give them an experience that I didn't get. That's something that will bring me joy. But what will bring me the most joy is to be able to share with them international experiences and cultures, a lot of the mundane that they aren't exposed to or likely won't get exposed to in the short term.
Okay, so if I'm going to summarize what you just said, you want, what would make you happy, bring you happiness, is to have new experiences with people and share the opportunity to have similar experiences with your family.
Yes.
Okay, it's fantastic.
Okay.
Okay. Because what we're talking about today is about what will make you happy and why that is a really, probably the wrong question to ask it in the first place.
Yeah.
So I mentioned the book that I've been reading and it's talking about how like a lot of us want, you know, we're working hard to become a designer. We're working hard to become an engineer or to work at a place of prestige or, you know, to make a name for ourselves. And generally, I don't know, like that's been my path, right? I've worked very hard to kind of like position myself, really, mm-hmm. like my own brand, and like I've been concerned with these kind of things.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, make, like this will be, I'll be happy when.
Happy I, when, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be happy when I'm, you know, I don't know. I don't know when, like when I'm famous. I, but yeah,
the, I'll
but
be happy I when never, I, I'll be happy when I reach X, and X is always unattainable.
It's always one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And this book said, you know, it's not about what you get that makes you happy. It's about the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always something else to get, mm-hmm. right? Like you were just saying, there's always something that's unattainable. As soon as you make $1 million, you want $2 million. As soon as you make $2 million, you want 20. That idea is like, we've seen this, you know, time and time again, that you never really lose the desire for more,
mm-hmm.
but you're never guaranteed more. Mm-hmm. But what you are guaranteed is the struggle to get more.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break for our sponsor.
Sponsor.
Our sponsor is FreshBooks.
FreshBooks.
I like them. They're pretty cool, man. They make software, accounting software, for people who run small businesses that are self-employed
uh-huh.
or freelance. And their biggest feature that I like is that you can create and send professional-looking invoices in a matter of seconds.
Seconds. Dude, okay, let me just jump in there. Because like when I did freelance design for a number of years when I first started out. And like the worst thing was asking for money.
Yeah.
And like chasing people down and being like, are you going to pay?
What's cool is that they have this feature where you can see when your client sees your invoice. So you don't have to guess. Did they see it? Did they not?
Oh, like if they opened it, if they saw it.
Yeah. And then FreshBooks takes care of that itself.
Uh-huh,
so they'll send the reminders, et cetera, until you get paid.
Where can they sign up?
Dude, check it out. Here's another awesome thing. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day free trial to all listeners of our podcast.
So cool.
So if you want it, go to freshbooks.com/Trav and Los and enter Late Nights with Trav and Los in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
You never really lose the desire for more,
mm-hmm.
but you're never guaranteed more.
Mm-hmm.
But what you are guaranteed is the struggle to get more.
Mm-hmm.
You're always guaranteed a struggle, whether you're going from 1 to 10, 10 to 1,000 or 1,000 to 2 million.
Right.
There's always work to be done. There's always something to do. And that is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book says maybe a more intelligent question is not what do you think will make you happy? What should you work for? But more like what do you want to struggle with?
Mm-hmm. I want to struggle with... Do you have a follow-up or can I...
You can postulate if you want. Yeah. I thought your original answer actually was really keen.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I want to struggle with giving experiences to people, to yeah. my children and to yeah. myself.
Yeah.
I thought that was really nice.
Nice.
But you can...
Yeah, I'm trying to... What do I want to struggle with? And... yeah, I want to struggle with getting there sooner. That's my struggle. Giving them the experience that I know that will bring them fulfillment and joy.
Okay.
Of like understanding that they don't matter. Like I want to teach
what
them.
What doesn't matter?
That my son, my daughter, my other son, I want to teach them sooner rather than later.
Or if you call them other son.
Other son, yeah. That they don't matter in the grand scheme of things. And that
they themselves do not matter. They're not a special snowflake.
They're not.
Okay.
And the way to do that is many ways to do that parenting wise
mm-hmm.
in your sphere of influence, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to travel to teach them that.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't live that insignificance in the world without experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can learn that insignificance by you telling them, look, there's a million people or whatever, you know, you can make them feel special within like you and your wife or you and your husband,
mm-hmm.
or you and your significant other. But that's what I would struggle with is getting to that worldview sooner than.
It's triggering me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this book and there's a section in there where he says that like your happiness is based on how you measure reality based on your values,
mm-hmm.
right? And he has an outline for what makes a good value, what makes a bad value. Good values are reality based,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to superstition or mm-hmm. fiction, you know, or fantasy. Two, socially constructive rather than socially destructive.
Okay.
And third, immediate and controllable.
Mm-hmm.
versus
just
like, I can't wait till I can get to that place, right? No. Yeah. And so I'm thinking in response to your idea of like, oh, I can't wait till I can give my kid that lesson. I'm like, well, maybe you can do that today.
Yeah.
Like maybe there's something, because like, you know, in making the choice of what you want to struggle with, because that's right now, that's immediate.
Right.
You are currently struggling with something.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, there's not going to be an end. There's not going to be an attainment.
I agree. And I am doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany and I are doing that right now. And he knows that he's not a special little snowflake, right? For example, he'll sniffle and like be like, my throat hurts, you know, and try to like beat that drum. I'm like, you're not going to get attention that way. It's like, there's a right way to get attention and that's not the right way.
Uh-huh.
So I'm putting into action immediate results or media actions to give that to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to go to maybe it starts here and go to like New Orleans or something, or go to Detroit or go to East Palo Alto, mm-hmm. right? Just somewhere that is different from where we live,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want.
Why do you have to go somewhere?
I think traveling opens up the world.
Certainly does.
And I want to incept that in them in their formative years as mm-hmm. like something that they can attain.
Certainly.
Internalize it rather okay. than teach them later.
Here's an idea. Joy and satisfaction are outgrowths of struggle. You can't...
Outgrowth of struggle. You outgrow a struggle. Like you surpass it. Is that what that means?
Outgrowths of struggle.
Outgrowths of struggle.
They're results of struggle. You're never going to get satisfaction for something you don't work for.
Right. So the struggle is... Okay. Yeah. So the struggle is the soil for which you plant these outcomes, this joy and satisfaction.
Yeah. Like if you think that there's a moment where you're going to have joy and satisfaction and it's going to be given to you.
No, it's not.
Right.
Like, it's not.
Right. So like if you think, oh man, you know, like travel would be my ideal. And let's say somehow you like win the lottery or a relative you weren't aware of like dies and you get a big inheritance and all of a sudden you start traveling.
None of that.
It won't lead to joy and satisfaction. And that's
right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree with that completely.
Right. It's that struggle that you have to get to New Orleans that's going to make being there and experiencing that worth it. And When I say that, I'm not saying that you're going to value it more if you work for it. I'm saying the journey there is going to bring you closer to your son,
yeah.
which is your goal, yeah. than the actual trip.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And so in this way, it's important to focus on what we want to struggle with
yeah.
and not for.
Yeah, let me give you an example of something that happened recently that I think follows this pattern in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany and I ended up going to Disneyland with our three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you their ages, there are 7, 3, and at the time, 6 months old baby.
Yeah.
Right. Brittany has traveled there as a nanny to a family. Right?
Yeah.
Where the family gets to enjoy the time and not be constrained to the time with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had a different experience at Disneyland. We had to balance the two oldest kids having fun, ourselves having fun, while still taking care of a 6-month-old in a very busy place. Super fortunate that we're able to go to Disneyland. It's like a step, like a thing that I want to mention. Like I know that is...
Yeah.
Not everyone can experience that.
I'm fortunate.
And being there, I loved the amount of time that I spent there. Mm-hmm. I loved the juggle and the struggle of making sure that everyone was having a good time, that, you know, we're taking turns, that I was waiting in line with, you know, two kids while Brittany went off with the oldest and changing diapers and a stroller in the middle of the heat in line.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, like, I was tired, exhausted, but that joy and satisfaction of that trip, I don't think it would have been at that level if I had a lot more help than I had for my first trip there.
Oh, okay.
But I really enjoy that trip, and a lot of it came from like the struggle of being on the trip.
Yeah, like this is what it's all about.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I'm tying this together very well, man. Like, if I'm honest, I'm not sure how I'm doing as a podcast. But I think what I'm trying to really focus on is this paradigm shift. And to like just throw another anecdote on top of yours.
Yeah.
Like my daughter was mad, and she was like crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, instead of being like, oh, you're inconveniencing me, and like, this is not what I wanted my fatherhood to be like. I wanted a happy kid. I was like, oh man, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I get to have a crying daughter.
Yeah.
And I get to decide right now.
Yeah.
I get to decide right now if I'm going to send her to a room or if I'm going to get on my knee and say, I want to hear what
you're upset about.
What you're upset about.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, because we have this rule where we're like, if you're screaming, go to your room. And it's just like, it's common courtesy.
Yeah.
The rest of the family doesn't need to hear you scream.
Yeah.
And usually it's a good thing because they go to the room and calm down and then come out and talk about it.
Removed from the situation.
But at this moment, I was just like, kind of like thinking, I want to be here right now.
Yeah.
I want her to scream.
Yeah.
I want her to be inconsolable.
Yeah.
And just like, I want to sit here with it.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, like that would be my reward.
Yeah.
That I can have a child who would scream at me.
All of that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good. I got closer to my son, my oldest. We waited about 2 hours in line for this thing, a ride.
Right? Yeah, right.
But he's not, like when we look back, he's going to remember, and I remember the 2 hours we spent not being bored, trying to figure out games to not be bored.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the 2 minute ride that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
forgettable ride.
The forgettable ride. But what's not forgettable is enjoying and not being frustrated with, like, I gotta wait in line. It's so freaking hot.
This is a perfect metaphor. It's the time in line, it's not the ride.
Ooh. We're just gonna end there.
Wow. That's everything. That's what I wanted to say.
That's everything.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, it's the time in line, it's not the ride that's important. And we'll see you next week.